What is the purpose of a primary? From SDPB, today is Wednesday, September 11th. This is In the Moment. Coming up this hour is a primary election a way for political parties to choose their standard bearers, or is it a way for all voters to narrow down a field of candidates ahead of a general election? Constitutional Amendment H would get rid of closed primaries and give all registered voters the same ballot on primary election day. Joe Kirby and Tom Dempster argue for Amendment H. They say it's an issue of fairness. Ezra Hayes and Dan Ahlers are against it. They say it would all but ensure voters would never see Democrats, Independents, or Libertarians on their ballots in November. And the Dakota Political Junkies look ahead to a hypothetical gubernatorial race as we evaluate what's at stake. I'm Lori Walsh. You're in the moment. News is first. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. A measure appearing on your ballot this November could fundamentally change how South Dakotans head to the polls. Constitutional Amendment H would switch our primary system to a top two system, and it would enshrine that change in the state constitution. All voters would vote in one state primary. Then the two candidates with the most votes, regardless of party, would move on to the general election. That would be a change from the closed primary system we have now, where, for example, only registered Republicans can vote in a Republican primary. Joe Kirby is chair of South Dakota Open Primaries.
Well, if you look at our primary system, it's been in place for decades. I don't know the actual history of when it was put in place in the current form, but it was designed to deal with a two-party system where you have two parties competing with each other, two viable candidates competing, you get a good winner that's popular. That system stopped working 15, 20 years ago when the Democrat Party became less relevant in the state. So now we've got a single-party state, and we've got a closed primary system that doesn't work in a single-party state. So you got half the voters frozen out of having a meaningful role in the election process. So, yeah, it's time to change the primary system.
What would Constitutional Amendment H do?
Constitutional Amendment H would change to a South Dakota primary system. We'd get rid of the idea of a Republican primary as being separate from a Democrat primary. You'd instead just have a South Dakota primary. All the candidates would be listed on the ballot. All voters would get that ballot. The top two candidates move on to the general election. It's a great system, simple system, most importantly, a fair system.
Other states have tried this. What inspires you about their results?
This is actually the system that's used in a couple states, but more and more states are open primaries these days. Alaska went to an open primary system combined with ranked choice voting, which is another concept that's talked about in election reform. I guess to me the whole idea is find a system that gives full expression to the voter intent. Don't have a convoluted system that you have to play games and switch parties or claim to be in a party or not just so you can have a relevant vote. Let's get a system that's just fair, simple, and you don't have to play a game.
So one of the challenges is, from the opponents to this constitutional amendment, that the party should get to designate their standard bearers. This is an opportunity for funding for gathering together in the parties and setting an agenda. The two-party system is still relevant. Shouldn't the parties get to decide who represents them on the ballot?
Well, the parties in open primary states are alive and well. So the parties aren't going to go away. The role of the party is going to change. There might be a few Republicans and a couple Democrats on the ballot for governor, let's say. And the party can decide what to do. They can endorse one of the Republicans or they can fund them all. They'll have to figure out what their role is to support candidates, and maybe they'll wait until after the primary and then start providing support to whichever Republican or whichever Democrat moves on.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about ballot questions and roll-off. So in a state that is strongly Republican, like South Dakota, in a primary, it's not outside the realm of imagination to say that two Republicans would be the top two vote-getters in a primary, and therefore you would have two Republican candidates for governor that voters would be choosing. independent voters and the Democrats, would there be roll off? And they would say, well, I'm not going to go in and vote because it's Republicans. It's not for me. And therefore not show up for things like ballot questions. What might some of the implications of a top two primary system mean for the robust ballot question and direct democracy that we see in South Dakota every election?
Again, the best thing I can suggest is that we look at what goes on in other open primary states. Number one, I think it's more common to get a Republican versus a Democrat in the finals, even when the state is a one-party state like California or Washington. Sometimes you end up with two Democrats in a blue state or two Republicans in a red state. But more often you get a Republican versus a Democrat. If you end up with two from one party, then people from the other party or independents will choose their favorite candidate, whichever one appeals to that group the best. And that's one of the benefits of open primaries is we'll probably be electing a lot of the same people. Christy Noem probably would still be our governor, and John Thune and Mike Rounds would be our senators. But they would have learned to tailor their candidacies toward the entire electorate instead of just toward the partisan few that vote in the primaries.
Let's talk about that, because that is one of the key points here, is the conversation of voters instead of to the party, to all the people. How do you think this will change the tone of our elections and the accountability of the people who are put in office?
Well, open primaries does change the tone. It reduces the partisanship. Right now, if I wanted to run for office, I'd have to pretend to be somebody I'm not. I'd have to appeal to the 17% that voted in our last primary. I'd have to appear to be much more conservative on social issues than I personally am. So right now, if you're going to run for office, you have to appeal to the 17% that vote, which is they're outliers. They're not representative of true South Dakota values. With open primaries, you'd as a candidate, you'd embrace true South Dakota values and appeal to all voters.
For people who say, if you are a moderate Republican, for example, or, for example, if you're a Democrat who is feeling a lack of relevance, just be more involved in your party. Just show up for those party functions. Take your party back. Why put it on the ballot?
We know that's not working. Right now, we've got hyper-partisanship making our politics ugly. We've got independents disengaging. My kids are independents, and they're not going to sign up for either party. We're losing our relevance in our politics. We need to change the game. Change it just a bit. This isn't a big sweeping change, really, but it will get more people involved and bring new life into our politics here in South Dakota.
Joe Kirby is chair of South Dakota Open Primaries, also part of that group, one of our Dakota political junkies. Former state lawmaker Tom Dempster has this to say about Amendment H.
In the last election, I think a third of our House members and I think two-thirds of our Senate members to the South Dakota legislature were elected, well, guess what? Not by the general election, but by the primary election. And that means that 25% of our voters, the independents, that their vote simply doesn't matter at all. We think that's fundamentally unfair. We think even the South Dakota Constitution, as it exists, says that is fundamentally unfair. The South Dakota Constitution, I think it's Article 7, says that all elections should be fair and equal. Let me repeat that. It says all elections in South Dakota should be fair and equal. Well, guess what? They're fair, but they're not equal. Can you imagine denying some people the capacity to vote? Second section to that, if I may, says that every U.S. citizen 18 years and older should be entitled to vote in all elections. Should be entitled to vote in all elections. The way that we practice elections in South Dakota is inconsistent with our South Dakota Constitution. And what we seek to do in open primaries is make primaries consistent with the South Dakota Constitution.
So the people who are opposed to this would, of course, say you are allowed to come to the polls and vote, sign up for a political party, be active in that political party. If you don't like how the Republican Party is, then show up for the Cracker Barrels and the party meetings and do something. Participate. That's what they would. That's what they would say. What would your response to that be?
Well, my response to that would be there's a small subset of people that would not be interested in open primaries. And that small subset of people would be those people who would be extreme party members that want to elect extreme representatives. Those are the only people that should be opposed to open primaries.
In your opinion,
my opinion, yeah. Absolutely correct. Yeah. The people that should be interested in open primaries are Make America Great Again Republicans, who are sick and tired of someone else, not them, having a say in elections and how they are run. They should be regular Republicans, mainstreamer Republicans, who don't want just a very narrow of voters electing their representatives.
Do you think it would get more people to the polls? Because voter turnout is low, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on younger people really caring about what party they're in or caring about the party at all. And likewise, people leaving parties because they're frustrated or disgusted or want to throw up their hands and say, I don't want to affiliate with this group because I don't appreciate this issue and how they stand on it, but I still want to show up and vote. It seems like more and more people are opting out of the process, or I know several personal stories of people who've just said, I can't be part of this party anymore.
Yep.
I'm an independent now.
Yep.
So the independents become a force to be reckoned with. Now, I mean, I've said a whole lot there. So what stands out to you that's worth continuing to spin out?
What stands out for me for sure is that our numbers and our statistics say that in open primaries, you will have 50,000 more people vote in South Dakota elections. That means more people are enfranchised. That means more people elect our elected officials. That means we have a stronger and a better democracy than what we have today, when so many people are not able to vote for their elected candidates.
There's an article you wanted to talk about that was published in South Dakota Searchlight, and this was written by Dana Hess, who is, I believe, retired, but has 25 years in South Dakota journalism, according to his bio on the website, newspapers in Redfield, Milbank, and Pierre. And he is talking about the primary slugfest. Tell me about this article and what stood out to you.
Well, the problem is, as an econ guy, I should be interested in open competition as a good thing, right? But not open competition when you've got just a very few number of people who are electing our elected officials. What he pointed out, Uber Republicans increasingly are running in Republican primaries because they can be elected by Uber Republicans. And that, again, is an argument for open primaries, saying you should not have a very small set of people electing extreme people to Congress or to the South Dakota legislature. All you have to do is just look at Congress right now. Say, are you happy with Congress? Are you happy with all of these extreme groups not being able to compromise, not to make effective public policy? That in itself is probably the strongest arguments for open primaries. People are sick and tired of it.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. On June 4th, South Dakota saw low turnout in our primary election. That's a talking point for the proponents of Constitutional Amendment H. They say overhauling into a top two primary system may bring out the votes, especially from independent and Democratic voters. Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen is co-host of the weekly political podcast Dakota Town Hall. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. Seth dives into what's politics as usual about the system that we're all pretty used to.
When you say most people are used to it, I would also say most people are used to ignoring it completely, right, judging by the turnout numbers. But basically parties have been separate, or primaries have been separated by party, in modern history. And the Republican Party chooses its own nominees during the primary to go ahead and advance to the general election. They do that with a primary election that's only open to people who are registered as Republicans. So if you're a Democrat or an independent or libertarian or whatever, you can't vote in the Republican primary. Democrats do it a little differently. They allow independents to vote in their primary, so they have kind of an open primary. Not quite fully open, but they do the same thing. They choose their nominees in the June primary election to advance to the November general election.
Does the party have influence on who their candidate is? Are they really choosing their standard bearer, or the voters choosing it? Help us understand the nuances of that. Murdoch, you want to jump in on that part?
I think that question is what is facing the Republican Party over the next 2 to 4 cycles. I think historically, maybe 10 to 12 years ago, I think it was a good representative of not only the party, but maybe even South Dakotans, for the most part. This last primary, I think, is an example of where we're going to see a lot of these candidates I don't think would represent the majority of South Dakotans, let alone the Republican Party.
Yeah. This is not bitterness about June 4th, though, entirely, Brad. I mean, because this has been on, people brought an open primary question before, and now they're, fine-tuning it for what they think the voters will say yes on. But of note is our primary this year.
I mean, to me, it's the exclamation point of open primaries argument.
Sure. How so? Say more about that for people who don't quite understand what happened. Because they weren't paying attention.
Well, I mean, to Seth's point, right? I think it's something that most South Dakotans ignore, so they don't have to know what the primary was. But the reality was, 83% of able-bodied voters decided not to
show up and vote. Yeah,
and so the 17% that then won that election is it's just hard. I don't mean it as sour grapes. I don't mean it as an endorsement. I just factually mean it as that's a hard now cross-section. Some of those new winners are a hard representative, I think, of South Dakota or South Dakota Republicans.
So, Seth, one of the arguments would be then opportunity for Democrats to come in at the general election, and Amendment H would upend that. So saying let all voters vote fits on a bumper sticker. It's really simple. When you talk to the proponents of constitutional Amendment H, they say it's that simple. It's fair. Elections are funded by taxpayers, so everybody who's registered to vote should be allowed to show up. Seth, is it that simple? It's not a simple change. I mean, it could be a monumental change or not. What do you think?
Well, I think you've identified it. There's two levels to this. I mean, on the one hand, like you said, right, let every voter vote. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Here in Rapid City, if I'm a registered independent, I'm basically disenfranchised in a lot of races and elections. I remember one cycle here in Rapid City when I think it was the U.S. House race, the race for Pennington County Sheriff, and all three of the legislative races in my district, there was no Democrat. So all of those races were going to be decided in the primary. And so you face the decision as a voter, either you register Republican or you don't get to vote on the people who represent you. So from that aspect, to voters, I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's why they're playing up that slogan, let every voter vote.
Right. Disenfranchised by what? By your own choice? The weakness of the Democratic Party? By the primary itself? Who's disenfranchising you if you're independent in South Dakota?
Well, just by the result. And that, if Dusty Johnson runs for reelection and there's no Democrat and nobody else, if he runs unopposed, or let's say he runs, somebody primaries him in the Republican Party, but he wins the primary and then he doesn't have an opponent in the general. If you didn't get to vote in the primary, then you didn't get to vote on who represents you in the U.S. House of Representatives. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about, but that's the problem I think the backers of the amendment are trying to solve. But then the question becomes, what's the impact of that? And boy, it's a really open question, I think, as to whether what the impact of this will be. If open primaries would lead to a situation where Democrats would never advance to the general election in any of these races, or
I think either side could use a district or a mayoral race or a as an example to make their point. But like, if you take this out 30,000 foot, it's hard for me to believe that there's going to be a situation where both Republicans and Democrats aren't going to be about as represented as they are now. Meaning, there's more fast food restaurants in Pierre than elected Democrats right now. So to, like, say all of a sudden then it's, you know, Democrats are going to go win half the seats to the, my Republican friends, that's a hard argument to make, just, you know, just because it's a hard argument to make. In most cases, as a whole, you lump it all together, it should lop off extremism, taking party aside.
In theory.
Where it gets really interesting to me is if, you know, as far as I read this, there's no limitation on the number of people who can run in these primaries. So, you know, out here in the hills, in this last primary, we had a state house primary, where there was, what, 5, 6, 7 people running. So what happens when you get a situation for one of these offices where 8, 9, 10, 12 people running the primary?
Devil's advocate. It's still going to be just as hard to get your signatures. And that, you know what I mean?
But, so all I'm saying is just then how does that impact the result? So in that situation, if you've got 8 Republicans and 1 Democrat running, maybe somehow the Republicans split all their votes so thinly that the Democrat sneaks in. Or the Republicans get all the support and the Democrat has no hope of ever advancing. That's what really interests me is how this shakes out in some of these races that attract a huge field of candidates.
Here's one of the things that interests me, too, is people, you get to self-identify your party when you get your name on the ballot. And I mean, we all know how many people in the state say, well, I switched my registration to Republican so I could go vote in that primary. And then I switched back. And so there's all this commentary about people not claiming the party that they're from or pretending to be something that they're not, which brings us to some hypotheticals at the polls. And let's talk about, say, you know, the next governor race. How many people, how many names could be on that ballot? And then if you are a Democrat and your choices are A, B, and C, how do you cast your vote? Do you cast your vote for the Democrat or do you cast your vote for the moderate Republican? There's some fun scenarios. I don't know if fun is the right word. There's some fascinating scenarios.
You know, all your lives are going to change and how fun that is.
Murdoch talk about a little bit of the future and what if Amendment H passes. It's enshrined in the Constitution. So there's not going to be a lot of adjustments to it in the future. What happens next in a gubernatorial election, for example, hypothetically?
Well, here's what's nice, and fun is the wrong word, but let's stick with fun, right? So what's fun about 2026 is it's even outside of open primaries, there's going to be 8 people running for this thing just because it's going to be one of them races, right? Yeah. I mean, there's the qualified or the known candidates like the Dusty and Jackley and Lieutenant Governor Roden, you know, is Billy Sutton going to run? Does Jamie Smith make another go of it? You can't have this chat at the bar napkin without eventually someone saying her, Seth, because it's just the way it goes. There's always a Mickelson that gets thrown into the middle of it. There's also qualified candidates that, you know, as soon as 4 people are in a race, 9 people in a race, right? And so you can think about people like who are good with a budget, like Jeff Partridge in Rapid City and worked with Noam on her budget process. And then you think about people with a long historical knowledge of the governor's office, and we need a governor. The next governor probably needs to really focus on departments running without people stealing from them, et cetera. You know, so like somebody like Tony Van Huysen, who's got a real grasp of, you know what I mean? There's so many people.
Oversight and regulation. Yeah. Where is that regulatory balance? Yep.
You don't think the Freedom Caucus in 2 years is going to find a couple people who, you know, there's a John Hansen / Taffy Howard, you know what I mean?
Especially if they can just get right in the primary. They don't have to, you know what I mean? The primary was a barrier to the Freedom Caucus folks in the past because they had a hard time getting past the primary to get to the general. But in an open primary, suddenly that maybe looks a more attractive and opens up a more of a door to those type of candidates.
But then the argument is then, Seth, if it opens the door for them to move on to the November election to be one of the top two, then they have to convince a whole lot of Democrats and independents to vote for them. And so the theory is that at least the rhetoric and then the accountability will change toward more moderation. I'm not finding anything in the other states that have top two primaries that would say that's a sure bet. The results are mixed. The academic studying of this is not definitive, whether this actually leads to moderation.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I can tell, I think California and Washington are the only two states that have pretty much exactly what we're talking about here. And, you know, we have a, we're part of State's Newsroom. We have an outlet in Washington. I talked to the editor out there, and he was just kind of a shrug, like it really didn't change anything. Like, it's just, you know, politics as usual. And then in California, as far as I can tell, you know, Democrats dominate there, and maybe they dominate even more because of open primaries. And they had this interesting thing happening in the Senate race down there this year with Adam Schiff, the Democrat, and Steve Garvey, the Republican, where Adam Schiff ran ads trying to make sure that Steve Garvey finished second in the open primary because he would be the easiest guy to run against in the general. So
well, you talk about fascinating scenarios. Vote for him for number two? Like, how did he do that?
Well, I got into the race that closely, but I don't know if it was negative or positive, but the point was that the point of the advertising was to try to make sure that he finished second so that he could run against him in a general, in a state where a Republican is almost certain to lose a general election.
Yeah. You
know? So these are the kind of gamesmanship type things, that possibilities that it opens up.
Murdoch, what is essential for us to cover in this topic as far as what happens next with this amendment?
We could talk about it for hours. And you know what I don't think either side is doing? Talking to people who don't care at all, which is such a necessity. I don't think anybody's talking to the person who is just raising their kids, who couldn't be bothered by learning about this because it's boring to the average person, I think. You know, I don't think that's a crazy statement to make, right? I just don't think either side is really talking to the people who might not be living it every day.
If you are already an apathetic independent voter, are you going to show up in June to get to the top two, or are you just going to wait to November in the first place or not come at all?
Well,
like, is this really going to raise the participation level in South Dakota elections is what I'm asking.
I don't know if this alone. I think this is a Lego in a number of other ballot issues. And then, you know, 2026, there's a lot of other candidates on the ballot, right? So, like, that doesn't change, right? 2022 is an all-time low, but 2026, I assume we'll see an all-time high.
Yeah. Seth, what would you say about that? The apathetic, the uninterested, the I don't vote person.
Well, yeah, no. I don't think this would get them to the polls. And it's in the short term. In the long term, as was mentioned, you know, for the people that aren't paying close attention to this, it's going to take, if this passes, it's going to take a number of cycles, I think, for the general population to realize that, oh, primaries are different.
Yeah, what's that thing again?
So I don't know, you know, maybe over the long term, maybe there is something that, you know, maybe it would help turn out. I don't think in the short term, if you're not interested in voting in a June primary now, I don't think you're going to be interested, you know, 2 years from now just because this amendment passes.
Yeah. Is party participation just fading to negligible levels?
Well, that's going to be another interesting impact of this, as we know that independents now and non-affiliated voters outnumber Democrats, right? Or at least they did. And so if this amendment gets adopted, you know, do more people just say, well, to heck with it, there's no need to be in a party now. There's not even a need to be in one for a primary. And does the number of independent voters just grow and grow?
I kind of think you'll see back to it. You'll see you're going to see two things, not really party versus party, but party and party. Democrats are going to be able to pick up a couple checkerboard spaces kind of no matter what, right? That's just kind of law of averages. They got to pick up a couple. And then the redefinition of the Republican Party over the next 2 to 6 cycles, I think you'll see a much different Republican Party, but also a much different Democratic Party. Like, over the next 6 cycles, Democrats could be the majority, which sounds crazy right here as we say this, right? But, like, oh, there's never been a better opportunity for South Dakota Democrats right now.
We'll see how that clip ages.
I can't wait.
Because you could be the forward voice there. Seth, wrap us up. Anything else? Polling so far, it looks like it's people are interested in it.
Yeah, and I think as we started with, you know, that slogan that the backers of this amendment have, "Let every voter vote."
Yeah,
that's pretty effective, and it cuts right to the point. And so, you know, I think it's an easy thing to promote, and you know, it'll be interesting. You know, both political parties have officially come out against this.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, probably whether it passes or not probably depends on how involved they get in actually opposing it and whether they're going to put money into, you know, opposing it.
Right.
I don't know if I see John Wick and Dan Ayler's hand holding in an ad together on this.
We can only hope that would be fascinating.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Now, some Republicans and some Democrats are for Amendment H, but both major political parties have come out against the change. Ezra Hayes is chair of the No on H committee.
This type of primary has been tried other places like California, Washington, and it has not done, it has not brought people together. It has not encouraged higher voter turnout. What they're doing with this amendment, it leaves it so that the candidates who are tied to the biggest pocketbook get to win. And so it really, it does the opposite of what they're saying it's going to do. It really makes it easier for big money to control our candidates and the election process that we have right now. I guess that's the main reason that I'm against it. I mean, there's not a whole lot of issues that bring, you know, all the parties together, and this kind of does that.
I want to dive deeper into that idea of big donors supporting individual candidates, because the proponents of Amendment H say right now it's, quote, party bosses who are making those decisions, and they want to take the political power and give it back to the people. What I'm hearing you say, that is giving the party two big donors. How specifically?
It's going to make elections more expensive, and, you know, it'll cause the top. So what their deal is, you know, the top two tier candidates. So what we have right now is we have a primary system where you have different parties. Right now we have three different parties that are registered in South Dakota. Those parties, each of them have a platform, kind of what candidates want to align with. What those candidates get to do is, like, say they want to be a Democrat, they follow the Democrat Party. They want to be a Republican, they follow a Republican platform. They want to be Libertarian, they follow that platform. So what that does is it takes and it makes it so whoever can raise the most money, you know, they're kind of the ones that get to win the most votes. Is kind of how that works.
What is your response to this idea that there are so many people who are disenfranchised? They're taxpayers, but because they have chosen to register as independents or not affiliated, they're just cut out of a process at this point, and that this primary system as it exists now is just inherently unfair. What would your response be to that?
Well, I think it'd be unfair to allow out-of-state billionaires to choose who our candidates are. You know, that's what this would do. So, and right now, you know, if you go to the Secretary of State's website, every person can vote in the primary. So they can't all vote in the Republican primary. Democrats' primary is open to independents and non-party affiliated voters, and the Republican primary is closed, and the Libertarian primary is also open to independent and non-party affiliated voters.
Do you think there are other reforms to our primary system that are worth considering in the future? Is the primary system working, or are there other reforms that you think would address some of people's concerns about a lopsidedness in political power in the state?
I see what your question is, but that's not really the mission of No Amendment H, is to come up with a solution. That's not our mission. Our mission is really just to fight this amendment because we feel like, you know, it's allowing, you know, big donors to come in and pick our candidates. The yes on Amendment H, you know, there was an out-of-state PAC from Colorado that donated $450,000, you know, last year to help bring this to our ballot. It's not just this issue. but we have a lot of people who see South Dakota as a cheap place to change our laws from out of state. And whether it's no Amendment H or whatever the issue is, you know, it should be decided by South Dakotans. And Amendment H will allow it easier access to be continue to be controlled in a much bigger way than we have right now from outside money.
Any final thoughts you want people to go away with about this constitutional amendment H?
I think South Dakotans, when they understand this amendment, they're going to vote no. Because we don't want to be like California. You know, we don't want outside money controlling our state. And I think that South Dakotans are going to vote no to maintain the integrity of our election system.
Dan Ahlers is executive director of the South Dakota Democratic Party. He is a vocal opponent of Amendment H. He takes us back in time now for a look at why we have primary elections.
Well, I think you need to look at the and think about why primaries exist in the first place. And primaries are there to take the power away from the party bosses of choosing their candidates for their political parties. So primaries, by definition, are there for the people and members of that party to choose their candidate for the general ballot.
So there was a time when in the smoke-filled room, the selection was just simply made. Mm-hmm. And the primary is a response to that. Is that what, do I understand it correctly?
That's correct. You know, that is the key to all of this, is that how a political party chooses. The current system allows for independents who have no party affiliation by definition to circumvent the primary process altogether and be on a ballot. Other minor parties select their candidates a variety of ways, usually at some type of convention or meeting because there's not as many of them. But there's an opportunity under the current system for more people to appear on the general ballot than under this proposed Amendment H.
All right. So some of the arguments for Amendment H are the constitutional amendment H, that it's going to take the power away from the parties and give it back to the people where it belongs. What's your response to that argument?
Well, it's already there with the people. It's there with the people that belong to those parties. And it's for them to choose their candidate, the person they want to represent them on the ballot. And then it's up to everyone in the general election to choose between all of those candidates that are available. It's kind of like being a member of any club or group. If you're not a chamber member, you don't get to vote on chamber policy. If you're not a member of the Lions Club, you don't get to vote on things that you do as the Lions Club. Independents and non-party affiliates, when they choose not to register with a party, they're removing themselves from that process. Nothing prevents them from being part of that process except their own choice. Now, having said that, the Democratic Party has chosen to allow independents to vote in their primaries. So, I mean, we do believe in being inclusive. There are a lot of problems with Amendment H beyond inclusivity.
Such as?
Such as, and you can find this in the Attorney General's statement, it allows, and in some ways, I think, encourages candidates to falsify their party affiliation. It says right in the explanation that a candidate can put down any party of his choosing regardless of actual voter registration.
Candidates can self-identify their party, and that's how their party will be listed after their name. Which gets to this big point, Dan, is that does the primary system in South Dakota need to be reformed?
No, I don't think that it needs to be reformed. I think that it works. This isn't really an open primary. Right. Open primaries, by definition, have no party affiliation. This is the top two. And the arguments are is that for a open primary or a top two is that it will moderate candidates and increase voter turnout. There's really no evidence to support that. If you look at the 2022 primary, South Dakota had a turnout of 29%, the same as California, which has the top two primary system in place and has for quite a while. What motivates voters more than what type of primary you have is the candidate and the issues that are on the ballot. You can go to Wyoming in that same 2022 primary and see a 42% voter turnout, and they have a closed primary. Why? Because Hageman was challenging Liz Cheney on the ballot. People were motivated to get out for the Republican Party on both sides. You had people that were mad at Liz Cheney and Representative Cheney trying to motivate her supporters to get out to vote. You go to Kansas, which has a semi-open primary, much like South Dakota does. We actually have a semi-open primary, once again, because Democrats allow independents to vote in their primary. Kansas had a 48% turnout. Why? Because abortion was on the ballot. I mean, that's an issue that motivates it. It's not the type of primary. If you look in that same year and you go to Iowa and Minnesota, which both have open primaries, you had 17% and 19% voter turnout, 10% and 12% less than South Dakota. As far as moderating candidates, you can go to this year and look at a Reese White that's running against Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota. He's an extreme far right candidate who came out of that primary. So even with an open primary system, you still get those extreme candidates. Go to California, Republicans would consider Nancy Pelosi extreme, yet she comes out of that primary if she even has one, and she's one of the candidates.
So let's talk about those independent voters, the 150,000 independent voters. This is the fastest nationwide party affiliation is growing as a non-affiliated or an independent. As young people are less likely to claim a party, what would you say to encourage them that party membership has value other than being able to show up in a primary?
Being a member of a party, especially if you want to have make a difference, if you're looking at where you most closely align, regardless of Libertarian or Constitution Party or Democrat or Republican, I think the benefit is the organizational infrastructure that exists. So if you're trying to advance a cause and you have party organization and that's part of the part, you know, your issue is part of that party of platform, being a member of that certainly gives you a voice and a means to address it, whether it be a state convention, resolutions, policy, ballot measures. I mean, there's a whole host of things that being part of a party organization gives you. Trying to run as a candidate, that party support is incredibly important. If I were to run as an independent, I would certainly lose supporters that will only support a Democratic candidate. The same would be true for a Republican. There are people there that donate. People that register as independent, and this is anecdotal, this is just based on the tens of thousands of doors that I've knocked and the people that I've had conversations with. People are independent because they have a problem or feel like one party or the other has left them, that they're not aligning, they don't like the bickering, but also in large part apathy towards the process. Apathy doesn't vote. You go to the general election in 2022, and in Minnehaha County, independents turned out 20% less than Republicans and Democrats. So that issue for independent voters doesn't just exist in the primary. It exists in the general election, too. And I think that from a party perspective, taking the political scientist hat off, putting the party hat back on, I would say that we need to do a better job of engaging voters and visiting with them and listening. Regardless of what party they are, when I would knock doors in my district, in District 25, I rarely looked at the party affiliation before I went and knocked a door. Mm-hmm. I just went and knocked because I want to have a conversation. And I think that that's the approach that Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, whatever flavor you are, need to take with all voters. In the end, we all share a lot of the same values. I would say 80% of those values we can agree on, and the difference comes in how we get there. Mm-hmm. So for independents and non-party affiliates, I understand the apathy. I understand the frustration at times, sure. But the only way to change that is to get involved. And they can still do that as an independent, but I think it's much more effective when you are a member of a party.
What are your concerns if this constitutional amendment passes, the impact of roll-off could be? So that would put, you know, in a top two primary, the Democratic candidate for governor might lose to two Republican candidates. There would be no one from the Democratic Party on the fall ballot, for example. Would that cause a roll-off of Democrats staying home and therefore not voting on some of the ballot questions? Because in South Dakota, it seems like many of the ballot questions that are traditionally tied to the Democrats will show up and get passed. Medical marijuana would have been one of those topics. What are your concerns about the ballot questions and a top two primary?
Well, I think you make a very good point. If people don't have candidates that they feel like they can get out to vote for, I do think you'll see a roll-off. You see that in districts where there are no Democratic candidates now. It's incredibly difficult to get people out to vote or get them motivated because they feel like my vote doesn't count. And if you have a presidential candidate on the ballot, they're like, well, the Democratic candidate for president never wins in South Dakota. Those types of arguments. But beyond that, there is that possibility that there could not be a Democratic candidate for governor on the ballot. I'm more concerned about the lack of options that voters have as a whole. You can go and look at our election history. There are almost always three options on the ballot for governor, for Congress, for U.S. Senate, for any number of these races. That would no longer happen. As an independent, trying to get on the ballot is already a steeper climb because you don't have the party organization and you have to get more signatures because you need signatures. You can get signatures from everybody, but because you're not party affiliated, you have to have more, right? So it's a steeper climb to get on the ballot in the first place. Now, putting that into a tight time frame between January and that third week of March without any party organization makes it incredibly difficult. You could not see independents ever make the ballot again. Libertarian candidates, it would be highly unlikely that you would see a Libertarian candidate on the ballot. And I think everyone deserves the opportunity to have some form of representation, and going to a top two system limits that to two choices. We could see fewer people going out to vote because they're not happy with either option. At least now there's a mechanism for there to be more options. 2014, you had three really good candidates to choose from. You had Rick Weiland for the Democrats, you had Mike Rounds for the Republicans, and you had a former U.S. Senator, Larry Pressler, running as an independent. You would never see that again. 2018, we had four congressional candidates running. I think that those options are good, and H would limit those options.
Any final thoughts?
You know, I certainly appreciate where the folks that have brought H are coming from. I believe that it's well-intentioned. I just, the facts don't back up what they're trying to accomplish. And I think that it should be a wake-up call, though, to everyone, parties, independents, every voter, that we all need to do a little bit better job of being involved in the process. If we want to elect better people, we have to be involved. And I think it was Ben Franklin that says we get the democracy we deserve. And if we don't engage, if we don't get out, if we don't participate, then we see what we see in our current political environment. I'm concerned with it as much as anyone, and that's why I took the job that I have today, was to make a difference.
Dan Ahlers is Executive Director of the South Dakota Democratic Party. That is our show for today. We hope that it served you. On Tomorrow's In the Moment, How to Do Everything, a South Dakota edition. We will check in with two Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me producers about new episodes of their podcast designed to answer life's most burning questions, including how to know whether or not you smell bad. Well, we have some South Dakota questions of our own. How do you survive a rattlesnake bite? What is the proper way to wear a cowboy hat? How does one, in fact, pull oneself up by one's bootstraps? We've got your answers from some uniquely qualified and overqualified South Dakotans. From all of us at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.